The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob Wischusen is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Excellent broadcaster. He calls college football and the NHL for ESPN and ABC. Tomorrow afternoon, Panthers Bruins. That is a national telecast, Crowder, on ABC. And Bob Wischusen will be on the call from Sunrise. And I think many people know Bob is also the radio voice for the New York Jets. So we have a lot to talk about. And he was on the show last week when we were off and Josh Appel was filling in for us. Josh had Bob Wischusen on. So we're actually, we're thrilled that you could make time for us again, Bob.
Yeah, when I heard, you know, it was a Channing Crowder show, that made me, that gave me pause, you know, as a Jets guy.
Yeah, me too.
I don't like Dolphins. 8-9 years crap now. Out of the Jets for a long time. Yeah, not pleasant calling his games.
Well, me and Rex Ryan got into it, and now you have a chance to get Rex back. So, you know, we could talk about it.
What are the chances?
Maybe you can
of
come
that,
down,
Bob?
Come down to the sideline, yeah, and yap at Rex if he comes back to the Jets.
me and Rex actually talked on the. We had him on the pivot, and we laughed about it. Where he was like, "Yeah, you know, I was playing the game, and he was playing the game too. Like, yeah, the media wants this, we'll give him what he wants."
It was a good show.
Do you think he'd see success with the Jets?
You know, it's a really interesting question because, you know, the last time the Jets had any playoff success, the last time they made the playoffs, Rex was the coach. But there's also this idea that people are kind of forgetting that he coached them for 6 years, not just two. Like the first two, he went to the playoffs and went to a championship game, and that was great. But this slide they've been on the last 14 years, the first 4 years of that was Rex. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I think you do have to look at his time with the Jets in totality before you just look at it through kind of like those green colored glasses and act like the only 2 years that Rex ever coached the team were the 2 years they went to the championship game. You know, there were negatives as well. So I would definitely be interested if I were a fly on the wall in the room to hear the question asked to Rex, what lessons have you learned from maybe the mistakes that you made as a coach? And how are you going to be different this time around so that we can count on the success, but we don't have to worry about, you know, the backslide if we do have some early success, because that's what happened last time. And you know, to be fair, like you got to look at the whole picture, not just the first 2 years.
And Bob, you cover the Jets. You call the games. Like, they always say that there's a certain person that needs to be in the New York market where, like, I know Ben Johnson comes up, Aaron Glenn's coming up. Like, you know all the big coaching names. Vrabel's supposed to go to New England. Is there, like, does that really mean something? There has to be a certain personality to be a Jets coach? Because my thing is, honestly, like, I don't like the Jets that much. I'm a damn Dolphin. I live in Miami still. But, like, does you have to be a certain type of person to coach the Jets, or should you just be the best football coach?
Well, you have to have as that best football coach, some armadillo skin and some, like, I got this about you when you walk in the door. In all the years that I've covered the Jets, and my time with them goes back to 1996. So the first year I ever was regularly on their beat and in their locker room, they went 1-15, and it was the second year of Rich Kotite. So I've seen a lot of coaches come through, and some have had some success, and then it's backslid, like Rex is a good example. The only guy that I've seen in all my years with them that walked in, and on day one, literally a switch flipped culturally, expectations-wise, everything, was Bill Parcells. And we all know the gravitas that Bill Parcells has with him. So for one of these other guys with no head coaching resume to come in and do this with the Jets would be to do something I have not seen done. Because there have been other guys, right, like Todd Bowles and Herm Edwards when he first arrived and Eric Mangini and, you know, and Rex. None of these guys were head coaches before, you know, before they arrived with the Jets. And so maybe having some prior head coaching experience and a little bit of that gravitas and being a guy that's used to standing in front of the whole room and be the leader of men, that type of thing. There's, you know, dealing with the New York media and certainly dealing with, you know, the instant negativity that you have to try and overcome the minute you walk through the door with the Jets is a real thing. In New York, it is absolutely a real thing.
I think you kind of see it with Aaron Rodgers almost, where he can overcome anything. But then all of a sudden, maybe that Jets, whatever it is, if it's an aura or an odor or something, maybe he couldn't get past it. But let me ask, because I do want to talk Panthers with you, Panthers-Bruins tomorrow on ABC. But real quickly on the football front, who had the more disappointing season? Was it the Dolphins, who had been to the playoffs twice in a row, thought they had everything right with Tua and Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, or is it the Jets, who, you know, finally get Aaron Rodgers back? He missed the first season with them, and they think they've got everything right. Both season ends without going to the playoffs. Which team had the more disappointing outcome?
Yeah, I guess disappointingly I would have to say the Jets, because Tua didn't play all 17 games. The Dolphins still got to the last weekend of the season with life, right? Like, they were hoping for an outcome that very early on they realized was not going to go their way, but they began week 17 or week 18 with, you know, with belief that they could make it. The Jets were basically done about halfway, if not two-thirds of the way through the season. And Aaron Rodgers played the whole year, started all 17 games. And they didn't really even come close. I mean, they've got the seventh pick in the draft. And they won the last weekend of the season against Miami and still ended up with the top seven pick. So, yeah, I would say, like, if Tua had stayed healthy the whole year, played every game, then I think it's reasonable to say the Dolphins probably would have been a playoff team. Because when he's healthy, you know, they win enough of their home games and enough other warm weather games. Maybe they would have gotten their doors blown off this weekend, having to go to Buffalo or having to go someplace like that and play outside the cold. I don't know. But, you know, they probably still would have made it. And the Jets had their quarterback the whole season and didn't really even come close. So, you know, hard to say they didn't have the more disappointing year.
And Bob, speaking of Aaron, is it on him if he wants to play again? Because we heard the post-game press conference where he said, let me go home, let me reset, let me evaluate everything. Or is it on the Jets to bring him back? Because they still owe him money. His contract, they owe him, what, $40-something million. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback of the Jets next season?
Too many balls in the air to answer that question yet. You're right. He is under contract. So it's more on them than it is on him. Like, if he wants to come back and play, they've got the right to keep him. And or trade him or release him or, you know, whatever they want to do. But, you know, the cap implications of getting rid of him are massive. But the answer to that question right now depends on the answer to, like, four or five other questions that we don't know the answers to yet. You know, the only one we know is they picked seventh. Coming into this past weekend, we didn't know what pick they were going to end up with. Well, now we know. So is there a quarterback that falls to them? you know, is there, would they trade up? And all of that now leans to who's the decision maker. They still haven't hired a general manager. They still haven't hired a coach. So once you determine who those two people are, well, what do you want to do? What do you think of Aaron? What do you think of the draft? Do you want to spend draft capital? Do you have a belief in Cam Ward that you would throw, you know, your couple of first-round picks at somebody else to go up and get him and make him the quarterback right now? If you don't believe in Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or anybody else at the top of the draft, well, okay, then what? Who's on the free agent market? What happens in Minnesota? Did they keep Sam Darnold? Does that mean they would trade J.J. McCarthy? The other way around, they go to J.J. McCarthy. Now Sam's a free agent. If not Sam, who else is on the free agent market? Right, then you're talking about like potentially the Kirk Cousinses and Justin Fields of the world. So all of that is unknown because you don't know who the decision makers are. So all of those questions have to be answered because those decision makers then have to make a call on that and then say, all right, well, if we don't have another viable way to go, then Aaron might be our best option. And could he come back? Yeah. I mean, in that scenario, he absolutely could.
Yeah, Jets have it way worse than the Dolphins. Just hearing Bob Wischusen lay all that stuff out, I'm not kidding you, Crowder. Like, we know who the decision makers are. You may not want it to be Chris Greer, but it's not up in the air. There aren't all these variables that, like, the Jets have it way worse than the Miami Dolphins. That has been answered and answered well.